Great to be with you all. I'm Will Rutherford, part of the congregation here, and I have the pleasure of exploring Romans 4 with all of you. It is exciting to look at a passage over and over again and keep going through it like an onion. You keep pulling back layers and you get deeper and deeper into it, and you can see there's a lot going on here. In my head, I've titled this The Ridge of Faith, Following the Marks of God's Faithfulness. And we've been talking about going up a mountain, but in some sense, I don't think the goal of the Christian is to reach the top of the mountain. I think it's to walk across this ridge of faith. I think that's what our goal is. So as we dive into Romans 4, Paul has quite a lot going on here. I think even trying to follow that as somebody who's read the passage a lot in the last few weeks, there's a lot going on in this passage. And I want to distill some key teaching points for us all. And I think there's some super valuable stuff in here. And I think Paul's done a really interesting thing in lots of different directions here to try and highlight to us as Christians the way to live a life that is righteous. Right at the centre of it, the main character of Romans 4, I don't know if you spotted who it was. Any ideas? Abraham. Abraham is like this larger-than-life character, and that's where it all hinges. It all hinges on Abraham. And the central question that accompanies Abraham is, how does somebody become righteous? That's it. So it's about Abraham, and it's about how does somebody become righteous. And Paul has a challenging time here because he's speaking to a church in Rome who are Jewish and Gentile, and who are living in a powerful Roman emperor as the leader. And yet he's trying to unpack this concept of faith to them. And he wants to help them to understand, how does somebody become righteous? Not by works, but by faith. So as we explore this passage, there are three areas I want us to help unpack. The first is, God is faithful. And I think we'll start to see that throughout the whole passage. That's what Paul's saying to us. And he's the one true God amongst many other gods in the Roman time. The second thing we'll look at is faith, our faith and Abraham's faith in God's promises following Abraham's example. So God is faithful, number one. Number two, faith in God's promises. And number three, how do we as a community of faith follow? So let's walk through these three points as we look at this passage together, and I hope it will reshape our understanding and our understanding of righteousness. Let me just pray with us for a minute as we start. Yeah, Father, we come by faith today. We want to be righteous people, but we also want to understand how we can do that. Lord, give us faith. Open our ears to listen to you, Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom as I speak, Lord. Amen. So God is faithful, number one, and I want us to unpack this theme of God's faithfulness. So Paul begins by anchoring on this character of Abraham, a figure that you will have heard of before, and a figure who would have been revered by the Jewish community and probably understood by the Gentiles of the time. So we're in Rome now. Paul's writing to Rome, to a small church. Abraham lived in a world that was quite like Rome, polytheistic, as in lots of gods. Not one god, but lots and lots of gods. And I can just show you behind. There was a lot going on. So Rome was a melting pot of polytheism. Over 70-80% of people would have been polytheistic in their beliefs. So Christians would have been a minority, with Jew and Gentile together making up 1 or 2%. So the majority of people believed there were many gods to appease. So there was a god for this and a god for that, a god for this and a god for that. There were gods everywhere for everything. There were rituals that accompanied these gods, and that was what people were doing day to day. Abraham lived in a time that was very similar. So polytheism throughout all of that time from Abraham right up to Rome was dominant in the world as the way that people thought about God. Completely dominant. So what Paul's actually writing about here from a modern perspective, isn't that startling? Monotheism, believing in one God, is something that has become dominant in the world. But at this time, this was dynamite. This was not usual. This was way out of the norm. Abraham was the first, really, to get this, and it built from there. So Paul is reminding us that Abraham lived in a time of polytheism, just like Rome, but he started to encounter this one God, the central character of the Bible, this God, the central character of Romans, this God, the central character of Romans 4 as well, this one God. There were a couple of other things going on in the early church in Rome. There was a lot of slavery. This is a tag that would have been around the slave's neck and basically saying they were owned by whoever. So if you found the slave had run away, you could return them to their owner. That was the kind of level of rights some people had. They had zero rights. So the church would have been made up. So roughly in the community, this would have been how many slaves there would have been, and this would have been how many freed slaves. So when you're thinking about the early Roman church, a huge proportion of them would have been influenced by slavery. Either they would have been slaves, or they would have had been slaves in the recent past. Slaves had zero rights under law, had zero rights to marry, zero rights in death. They were essentially seen as a possession of their owner. And so this also would have been part of what Paul was writing into a church that had slavery as a component of the economy that it was within. So these are the two big backdrops: polytheism and slavery. Jew and Gentile. These things are all going on in Rome. And I think it helps us understand why Paul is writing this letter and why Romans 4 sits as this key piece in it, to understand the argument that he's making. I think at this point there's great wisdom in slowing down and just reflecting that there is only one God. The God of Abraham, the God of David, who gets mentioned, the God of Jesus, one and the same, and the one who ultimately has authority over all things, who is righteous, and the one who is righteous alone. The God that we are here to worship together. Abraham believed that there was one God. Abraham believed in that God's promises to him. And the key verse of the whole passage, and it gets repeated again and again in different ways, is Abraham believed God, and God, this is that great one God, counted him as righteous because of his faith. So that statement is of no surprise to us, but to Rome, that is a big deal. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Another thing I'd like to highlight just now is, as Abraham, Abraham's faith was specific. So Scott mentioned this earlier, it's not that Abraham just had faith in an ethereal kind of way. And sometimes we talk about that, either faith as being a kind of just a thing you hold and you have. Oh, they're a very faith-filled person. But it wasn't like a blind faith or an optimistic faith or a hedging of his bets faith. It was a deeply rooted faith in the character who is God. This one powerful, intimate, relevant God who Abraham was anchoring his faith in. And this God who promised that Abraham would become a father to a nation who would have children as many stars as there are in the sky. And Abraham believed. So there's one God, and he alone is faithful. And Paul develops on this a little bit further. Faith in the one God would have been so important and countercultural in this Roman church, as I mentioned. There have been massive cultural forces that are external, like polytheism, believing lots of different gods, And there would have also been internal forces of Judaism and Gentiles within the community. So there would have been lots of these forces going on. There would have been probably a debate in the church about who has been circumcised in the church and who hasn't been circumcised in the church. People would be trying to rank each other. Oh, I'm one of the circumcised Roman Christians. Whereas Paul's trying to say, no, 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 you're all the same. It's all about faith. So there's, I think Paul is trying to encourage us to think there is no way to feel superior because of your birth, your family, your religious lineage, whether you're a slave or you're a free. Does not matter, Paul's saying. None of these things make you righteous. Therefore, you have no greater standing depending on them. So Paul, at his core, is strengthening the early Roman church to recognize there is one God and that below this one God, we are all equal. And it's all about our faith, our posture towards this God that's critical. So what are you going to do with your faith? Where are you going to direct it? And again, Abraham's a really unique character to use to this church with Judaism and with Gentiles. So those who believed in the law, following it, and those who were external to the law and following it. Both of these groups are sit within the church. And Paul uses Abraham as a key character to help unify them. And the reason he does this is amazing in many ways, because Abraham was uncircumcised, first of all. And think about, when was Abraham in the Bible? He was right at the very beginning. And when did the law come? The law came when? Through Moses, much later. So the law wasn't even given yet. So Abraham was right before the law. He was before circumcision. And what does God say to him? He says, Abraham was counted righteous by his faith. So he's unifying this whole church with its religious practices in this one person, saying, we all need to look back to Abraham and look back at what the root of all of this is. And it's Abraham and his faith in God's promises. And in that, he unifies the Jew and the Gentile, the uncircumcised, because Abraham was uncircumcised at the point he was counted righteous, although he did then go on and become circumcised. So he kind of refers to both groups, both Jew and Gentile, and he unifies them under this first character of the Bible, Abraham, as one to unify them. So righteousness does not come through being a Jew and following the law, because Abraham was before the law and he was counted righteousness before the law was even given. So Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. That's the key. This repeats on and on through this passage. This would have been explosive to this early Roman church, and it would have been highly unifying as they grasped it, that they would have all realized that they sit together in this same position.